liturgy, even if we're a little shorthanded, and I don't know if any of you have ever sung the liturgy, and we have some people that are sick and such, and that happens, but we should always be serving the liturgy when we're able to. I've served in prison before where I've sung the entire liturgy with big, gigantic fans that are rolling and making a ton of noise, all squeaky and everything. And it was still hot. It was still 100 degrees in the room, even with the fans. I wanted to turn the fans off, but they were way up in the ceiling. I couldn't turn them off. So it's important to be serving the Divine Liturgy when we can. We should have the attitude, no matter what time of year it is, no matter what time in history it is, that our time is short. Now, some of us might have some idea that there might be some things that are coming down that might be very difficult for us. That may be true. But there's always been difficult things for Christians. And when we die, our time is over. And we don't know when we're going to die. So we should, as best we can, celebrate as many services as we can, pray as much as we can, do as many prostrations as we can, fast properly, love our neighbor, love our enemy, because we really don't know when we will die. And this is an important thing, that even as children, you should understand this. You should understand that life doesn't go on forever, not at all. And there's things that are really important in life. And anything that's on TV, that's not what's important. Anything that people talk about in school, that's pretty much not what is important. What's important is the things of God. And we speak about these things of God from the scriptures and from the church services. Very important to learn these things. Some of you are old enough now that you should be praying on your own as well as with your mother and father. And if you're not doing that, well, your mom and dad need to try to encourage you to do that. Eventually, you'll move away from home. Will you pray then? Will you teach your children to pray? Will you come to divine liturgies when there's only two or three people there? Or nobody that even sings except for the priest? Are you going to do those things? I hope so. Because that's necessary for living a Christian life. I want to tell you about the scriptures today. Some of them are a little complicated, but some of them, even if they're complicated, they're also kind of easy. It's not really hard if you read them just with an open heart. You just read them carefully, and maybe you ask questions about words that you don't understand. But it's really not that hard to understand so much that's in the scriptures. So many people don't read the scriptures because they find it to be complicated and boring because they don't understand it. Well, it's really easy to read a Spider-Man comic book. That's not hard. They're not complicated. But it's harder to read the scriptures, but the scriptures have the words of life in them. Spider-Man might be entertaining, but the words of scripture are life. So you should really learn. And if you're not reading the scriptures at home, absolutely harass your mother and father until they read the scriptures. I know that some of you do. Absolutely, you should be reading the scriptures every single day together in manageable, bite-sized pieces so that it's not too much. I mean, obviously, tonight you can't go home and read all of Leviticus together. Leviticus are really, parts of it are kind of boring. It's a lot of numbers and things, and then there's a book after that called Numbers. It's just really, there's a lot of stuff in it. But there's still beautiful things in Leviticus. Did you know where the second commandment, you know what the second commandment is? Who knows what the second commandment is? The greatest commandment and the one that's like it. What's the second commandment? Anybody know? I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about the second greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. And of course you would have to love your enemy, because is your enemy your neighbor? Yeah. Any human being is your neighbor, whether he likes you or not, whether he treats you right or not. Every human being is your neighbor. So do you know where the second commandment comes from? Leviticus. Most of Leviticus is hard to read. It really is. But then it has this beautiful commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. So you never know in the Bible. There's all kinds of beautiful things in the Bible. I read the prophecy of Habakkuk this morning because it's really short. We commemorate him today. And although I don't remember it very well, some of the things in there were so beautiful. And they were about Jesus Christ in the prophecies. Very beautiful. So when you read stuff and you keep reading it, you start to really understand it. That's really important. It's not a very inspired thing to say, but if you keep reading, you will begin to really understand. And that's really true. So I hope that you will keep reading. So St. Paul had a disciple named Timothy. And Timothy means honor of God. That's actually my given name is Timothy. And Timothy was a Jew that was raised in, not in Jerusalem, but outside, in where their Greek was spoken. And his mother was very pious, and so he was raised in piety. St. Paul, when he came through that area, St. Timothy loved him, and he just basically attached himself to him. Eventually, he became a bishop, and we consider him one of the 70 disciples. And Paul loved him like a son. So he wrote a couple epistles to him that we have. Maybe he wrote 100 epistles to him, but we have two of them, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And he tells him a lot of stuff about just how to live and important things. And we can learn some of the ways to live from reading what St. Paul said to Timothy. Not everything applies exactly, but the morals apply. The way you should think about things apply. So he says, "Child Timothy, this command I commit to thee, according to the prophecies which have went on concerning thee, that by them thou thyself mayest be waging war for the good campaign, having faith and good conscience concerning the faith." And then he mentions a couple people. So that's what we should be doing. He's talking about prophecies. Probably what that means is that in the New Testament times with the apostles, there were people who had gifts called prophecy. And they could actually speak out during the services and give a prophecy, literally make a prediction regarding someone. We don't have that so much anymore. It still happens, but it doesn't happen with the frequency it happened in the New Testament times. It actually happened in the church services. We don't really have that now. But there are certainly holy fathers and mothers who have said things about the future that have come true. And they've lived even in our lifetime, they're living now. But generally not in church services does that happen, although that happened a lot of times in the New Testament times. So there must have been prophecies about Timothy becoming a bishop or serving in some way. And he says that you have to be waging war for a good campaign, having faith and good conscience. Now, that's complicated, maybe, sounding. But it's really like this. If you're guilty about stuff, you can't do good stuff. You know? So, like, if you lie, if you steal stuff, if you're mean to people privately, maybe, and people don't know it, well, then you can't go and be some sort of good person and help people. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If you pray to God but you don't confess your sins and don't repent, God doesn't hear your prayer. That's what it means by having a good conscience. You have to have a good conscience. So it's really important to be kind to one another. Since we have brothers and sisters here, well, it's really important to be kind to your brother and sister, brother or sister or both. It's really important. Shouldn't be mean to each other, because then you can't have a good conscience. And if you don't have a good conscience, even if you say your prayers and think you're doing a great job, God is saying, I don't hear those prayers. So that's important, to have a good conscience, to have a good faith and a good conscience. See, it's not really that complicated. Life is not really that complicated. If you do things in secret, God knows. And if you do bad things in secret, then the good things you do in public, well, God says they're not very good. So we must have a good conscience by being good when we're alone, being good when nobody sees us. That's really important. It's really important. So then he goes on to say, I wish therefore that men would pray in every place, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. You ever see me lift up my hands? Priests lift up their hands in prayer at various points in time. And if you're alone, I think you can also do that. But it's not our custom that lay people in the church would be lifting up hands. because it gets confusing. Now, a bunch of people doing stuff, and people might be saying different words and stuff. It gets disorderly. So we don't want to do that. But in at home, you could lift up your hands. But the priest lifts them up at various times. And usually when he does, well, every time he does, there's a certain emphasis and importance to the prayer. But he says here, without wrath or doubting. Anybody know what wrath is? You know what wrath is? Wrath is kind of like, well, really, wrath, in our way of understanding it, there's kind of two ways, but I'll tell you the way most people understand it. Wrath is kind of like, I really don't like that person. I hate that person. I'm going to get even with that person. That kind of thing. If you're angry at a person, you don't like a person, you judge a person, that sort of thing. That's kind of how we use, this is how wrath is being used here. So we shouldn't have any anger towards anybody, even when they hurt you. That's pretty hard, isn't it? That's really hard. What do you do if somebody hurts you and you're angry at them? What can you do to not be angry at them? What do you think? What can you do? Yeah, that's number one. Number one is pray for them. Number one is pray for them. It's sometimes hard to pray for people that have hurt us. It really is. And the harder it is, the more you should pray. You should pray for them before you pray for your mom and dad. So that God sees, oh, he or she loves this person or is trying to love them even though they did bad things to them. I'm going to hear their prayer for their mom and dad. That's really how it works. And that's why I tell you to do prostrations all the time. Because prostrations are a way of really showing that you really are asking God for something. It's really important to do prostrations. So that's how you deal, one of the ways you deal, with when you're angry at somebody because they did something to you. Another thing is don't talk bad about them. Don't go to somebody and say, look at what my sister did, blah, 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 blah. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's bad enough to think the thoughts, but you have to learn not to say the thoughts. And to pray for your sister or for your brother, or if you're mad at your mom or mad at your uncle or mad at me, whatever it is, you should pray for them. So, he says, without wrath or doubting. Doubting is like if you're not sure about something. You don't trust, right? Right. Doubting is where you kind of don't trust. But we're praying to God. Is it really? Do you ever pray to God and have doubting? What do you think? Any of you? Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, it's because sometimes you pray and you don't hear an answer to the prayer. And you have to continue to pray, even though you don't hear an answer. And you have to pray without doubting. You just have to continue. I think it's better, he's saying praying without doubting, but what he's really meaning is, even if you doubt, keep praying. Just push yourself to keep praying. Push yourself to pray for people, even when they don't look like they're getting better. So you don't pray with anger. You don't have anger at people. And you pray believing that God will help you. That takes time. It takes effort. That's why it's so important to say your prayers every day. Then he talks about, in like manner, also women must adorn themselves in modest dress with regard for others and sober-mindedness, not with platings. Platings is like putting stuff in their hair that makes it look really pretty, gold, pearls, expensive apparel. It's not important what you look like on the outside. I mean, of course, when we go somewhere, we're not going to be dirty. We're going to wash our hair. We're going to make sure our face is not dirty, that sort of thing. Of course, you should be clean. But it doesn't matter about what kind of clothes you wear. We shouldn't try to wear really expensive and beautiful clothes. Part of the problem about that is, number one, you're spending money for stuff that you could be spending money in a better way, maybe giving some money to the poor. And the other is that if you wear really nice clothes and you're around people that don't have nice clothes, the natural thing is to kind of be proud that I'm better. I know somebody goes to our church, and that in the school that she's in, everybody wears super expensive clothes. It's really important what kind of labels on the clothes. I mean, if you have a nice pair of tennis shoes, it doesn't matter unless they have a certain label on them. And of course, the labeled tennis shoes are like three times as expensive as normal shoes. Stuff like that. And then people that are wearing those tennis shoes or wearing that dress or wearing that shirt are proud. thinking they're somehow better than people because they have more expensive clothes. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't live like that. We should live just carefully. You know, the clothes that you need to wear, wear them. That's all. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. Unless we make it a big deal. He teaches some other things, but I really want to talk to you about the gospel because I don't want to take too long. So the gospel is from St. Luke today, and it says that Jesus was in the temple and he was preaching. Now, the things that Jesus said, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the ruling people, the kind of big wigs, the big shots, they didn't like it. They didn't like it because they weren't very spiritual people. That often happens, that people in control are not very spiritual. And so Jesus was saying things that they didn't like at all. They wanted to shut him up. They really wanted to kill him. And they did, didn't they? Huh? They eventually killed him, and they were very surprised that 3 days later he rose again. But they wanted to kill him for a long time. His ministry was 3.5 years long, and they wanted to kill him almost from the first couple months. So for all more than 3 years, they wanted to kill him, and they hated him. So they were sneaky, though. They wanted to try to pretend to be friends of his or ask questions like as if they really cared about the answer. So they go to him, and he's talking about all these things and saying things that they don't like at all. So they ask him, tell us by what authority do you speak these things? Do you know why I have authority to talk to you? You know why? Because I'm a priest, because I was ordained by my bishop, and my bishop gave me that authority. You know who gave my bishop the authority? Other bishops. And who gave those other bishops authority? Other bishops, all the way down to the apostles. So I have authority to teach, to preach, to celebrate the mysteries, to bury, to marry, to baptize, because I'm a priest ordained by a lawful bishop. That's why I have that authority. Why does your mom have authority to tell you what to do?
She's your mom.
Exactly. Because she's your mom. Exactly. Right? And when you're a mom someday, you'll have authority to tell your children what to do. And you'll understand that that authority is a hard authority to have because you want to do right by your children. And sometimes you have to punish your children, but sometimes maybe you need to, always you need to listen to your children. But authority is a hard thing. It's a hard thing to handle well. So they're saying to him, by what authority do you do these things? Who's letting you do this? Well, he knew that. Jesus knew that. And I think they knew that, but they didn't want to admit it, right? They didn't admit that he was from God. They were trying to test him. Now, Jesus was kind of like, shall we say, have you ever heard of a country bumpkin? You ever heard that term? He was from the country. He wasn't well known. He wasn't from the big city. He wasn't from Jerusalem. He was from way out in the country. And there were a lot of Gentiles out there. Gentiles are people that are not Jews. And the Jews hated the Gentiles. And they kind of thought, what are you doing around Gentiles? Those are dirty people. So Jesus wasn't really well thought of by the really important, the authorities. They didn't like him. And he wasn't taught in a synagogue. He didn't go to school. So they're saying, why do you know all this stuff? Well, duh, he knows all this stuff because he's God. But they don't want to admit that. So they're saying, by what authority do you do these things? Well, Jesus knew that that was just a sneaky question. Don't ask sneaky questions. Don't be sneaky when you go to your parents and try to say something to try to get them to do something. Just ask them what you want, right? And don't be sneaky. But they were being sneaky. And they wanted him to kind of trip up and be afraid to say he was from God. Because if he said he was from God, they were ready to go and kill him right there.
Because if you say you're the Son of God, you
can tell us. Yes, they thought that was blasphemy to say you're the Son of God. They thought it was, and later on they learned it wasn't, because it's true. He is the Son of God. So they wanted him to say it out loud, and he knew that they were trying to do that. So he tripped them up. So he said them. He asked them a question. So St. John the Baptist went around baptizing. And what he did when he baptized was people were repenting of their sins. They'd go in the Jordan River, they'd be baptized, and then they would stand in the river and they'd confess their sins right out loud to everybody. Then another person would be baptized. And he did this for a while before Jesus came. And the people loved John because John just spoke very plainly. He wasn't sneaky in the way he spoke. He spoke very plainly. The Pharisees hated him too. But the people loved John. And so the Pharisees knew that. And people in authority did, you know, if they're not very good, they're always afraid somebody's going to take over. Because there's always somebody trying to take over. So they were always afraid of John because John was so loved by the people. So Jesus said to them, the baptism of John, by what authority of it? Was it by man or by God? Now they were in a pickle because they reasoned to themselves, if I answer Jesus this question saying by God, then he'll say, why didn't you believe in him? Because they didn't believe in John. They hated John. They talked badly about John. So they couldn't say that it was of God because then all the people would say, well, you didn't believe in him. You didn't do anything. You're not worthy to rule us if you say somebody's of God and then you don't do what he says. So they couldn't say that. But then if they say of man, well, people loved John. People thought that he, what's that? There might be a riot, right? So they were afraid. So they took the coward's way out. And they said, we don't know. They were lying. They did know. They did know. They did know that the baptism of John was of God, but they didn't have the courage to say it out loud because it would have ruined them. They would not have been in authority anymore. So you see, it's really easy to understand the scriptures. Should we answer a question in a tricky way? No. Should we be honest the way we talk? Yes. It's very simple. Because this is the right way of life, to tell the truth, to not be sneaky, to not say things to try to get something. It's easy. See, the scripture is not that hard. Now, there's a lot of stuff in scripture. I admit it's hard. There's no doubt about it. But this is not that hard. The Pharisees were just very evil people. Not all of them.
You shouldn't test God.
You shouldn't test God. Right. You shouldn't test God.
He always
has something up his sleeve. I guess you're right. He kind of does. But we should always just be honest with one another. Just honest and good with one another. And then life is simple and life is free and life is beautiful. That's what life should be. So in our parish, we should be honest and good with one another. If you get in an argument with somebody, apologize. Don't tease people. Sometimes I've heard of teasing some of your children. I'm not saying any of you particularly, but some of the children have sometimes teased people really terribly. Made me so hard, so sad. My heart was terribly sad because we should never be mean to one another. That's not Christian. That's not even human. It's acting like some sort of lion who wants to devour people. It's terrible. So you see, scripture is not that hard. Read it and just learn how to act the right way. And then you have a happy life. God bless you.